You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, DeJuan Jones joined us in the media tent, which was, gosh, it was boiling hot, was it not, Tone? The heat was there. The heat is on for the Cleveland Browns in 2025. And DeJuan Jones going into year three, him switching positions. We talked about it all, and obviously I start with the hard-hitting questions with the great DeJuan Jones. DeJuan, thanks for joining us today. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Pleasure to be here. You know, just happy to be out here and playing football.
Take us through the journey. Everybody's going to ask about your body. We'll get to that eventually. Take me through the journey of coming back from the injury last year where, again, there's promise and then you end up going down.
You know, I battled the knee injury last year during the year. And, you know, I get to switch positions, play left tackle, and, you know, start getting in a groove. And, you know, just the worst happens. And, you know, it's unfortunate. There's nothing that I can do about it. But honestly, you know, kind of like not worked out for me, but, you know, it worked out for me. You know, I had a good offseason, trained well, just lost lots of body fat. That was my main thing. A lot of weight as well, but, you know, I think the body fat was a major thing just so I could, you know, just play fast and play physical.
When you break a bone like you break and at your size, when so much is going to be a conversation of what can you play at, how can you best help this team, how big mentally is it for you to have to deal with that and then worry about your diet, worry about your cardio when you just have a very serious injury?
I think it all kind of play hand to hand, you know, which is me being here every day. I didn't go nowhere else to do surgery. I did it right here with Dr. Vuce, and, you know, I work with the training staff, Steph, Pat, and Steve, and Fizz, and everybody in there, and it all just worked out for me, honestly, whether it was losing weight or just staying on top of treatment.
But do you think now through going through this, and you've been injured before, but now entering year three, which is pretty incredible to think about already that we're here, that now if you can do that and you can get to where you want to get, and I'm sure you're still striving, that if you could just battle that coming off the agony of an injury like that, you can pretty much do anything in this league?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. If I can bounce back from this injury and, you know, sustain it and play 17 or close to 17 games this year, it will benefit me, the team, and everybody.
DeJuan Jones joining us here on the hotline here, or I should say as we go through training camp. DeJuan, now I talked to you after the Seattle game in the preseason last year, if you remember, and I asked, could you play left tackle? And you're like, hey, now you're playing left tackle. What goes – I want to ask you about steps and everything that are different, but did they come to you like, hey, you're going to need to play it, we need you, and you're just going to do as the team asks of you, or are you open for that challenge?
I would say I am open to anything, you know, whether, you know, I got, you know, benched for a little while, and I was just open to just playing, and first to start with there, and then the off season, you know, I told them, you know, I'll work my way and try to, you know, play right tackle, you know, whether I got to beat Jack out, but, you know, it worked out for me, and, you know, they was just like, how about you try to play left tackle and just do it and, you know, just enjoy it and embrace it. And I'm like, you know, I'll do that. You know, I'll do whatever I'll take to get on the field and do whatever I needed to do for the team.
All right, the way you phrased it was like a fun suggestion. Hey, how about you try left? How is it really? Like, did they They're not going to ask of anything of you that they don't think you can do, but is it a strong, like, hey, we kind of really need you to do this just given our state of affairs?
I think they still gave me the option, you know, and it was up to me. And I definitely wanted to – it was open, and I definitely wanted to take it. And it was up in the air, and I definitely wanted to do that. I think it was a good decision for myself. I like challenging myself, and I was a – playing left tackle was already a big challenge. And, you know, playing a new position for a whole year is going to be a bigger challenge, and I'm okay with that.
Can you try to explain to us the difference in your feet, everything that has to come together? Because – it's tough to move backwards so many times as it is, and then you have to switch your feet, and then you're dealing with some of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, I think the main thing for me is just the angles. The angles are really different from the right side. You know, you can kind of like intersect a lot. Left side, I think it's like a little bit more methodical. The game comes slower on that side. It's faster at a sense, but also slower. You got to slow the game down, and I don't know. I kind of like it.
How much with your hands are you dealing with, you know, that one-on-one combat to make sure they can't come inside on you?
I think that's another thing as well, is just use my length. I think that's the thing I need to keep working on, just using my length and just, like you said, not keeping the guy from going inside or going outside.
Kenny, are you asking him for him personally or for you to instruct? He's a coach. He's a big-time local coach. And I just want to know if he's going to play this video for all his kids, men that he's
I do
developing.
D-line. I do D-line. So it's all about...
He's trying to disrupt us.
My whole thing is violence and quick hands and all that other stuff.
That hurts my heart.
As you can tell, I'm obviously a very quick person. And
give him a drill. Give him a drill that he can put his kids where.
You got a drill for me? Anything
a drill, I would say we use the buckboard and just getting our hands, you know, going forward. I think it's over there somewhere, but one of those drills is over there, and you definitely can use your hands or, you know, just a pad or whatever, and just this is really the way to be explosive. That's what I've learned, that, you know, Coach Callahan taught that, like, our first year coming into here, it was just, you know, what did the D-line do, you know, and it's like – they strike with their hands first, and, you know, which way we can, you know, retaliate that as an alignment is doing the same thing. So, you know, we start doing the same drills as them, and as buckboard and getting our hands up first, just like them.
All right, show me my age a little bit if you can. Now, you're only 23.
Yeah.
When you first started playing football, how old were you when you first started playing football?
I don't know my exact age.
Were you young?
I was pretty young. No.
Okay. Did you do hands, or were you still flippers?
No, I was definitely... it wasn't flippers. I feel like they taught us hands. I think I got big hands, so, like, as a kid, they were like, use your hands.
My age group, we had to do this to
people. Oh, no. Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
That's not how you block.
Well, yeah, we're with DeJuan Jones. We're at Browns training camp. So you mentioned Callahan, and now you're on your third O-line coach in 3 years, but yet the head guy in charge is still the head guy in charge with Coach Stefanski, who was just walking through here. So talk a little bit about the differences now, you know, how maybe it's evolved, or has it kind of been a similar theme throughout, especially for you and their coaching of you?
I would say the same. Everybody kind of has the same Callahan-ish, you know, things to work on. And, you know, me and Coach Bloom, we get along, and he does the same thing Callahan does. We get on the bungees every day. We work just our hand technique, and, you know, everything is pretty similar in my opinion.
Having Jack, having Wyatt, and, of course, Joel, who we're trying to hype him up to get his Hall of Fame due. We're starting to hear guys like, you know, Myles Garrett and others have referenced, like, this is a Hall of Famer right here. How much of an advantage do you think that's been for you, not only to obviously play with those guys against opposing D-lines, but to have them as a resource when they're in this building with you?
I think that's the major key, and we were talking about that yesterday. I mean, I was just like, you know, when you guys talk to me and, you know, help me up, like, that's the best, like, help I can ever get, you know, just because I've never really played this position. I've played it, like, I want to say probably my sophomore year in college, and that was so long ago, in my opinion. Like, my brain's not – hasn't retaught myself to play left tackle. So, you know, I asked Joel and just be like, what did Joe do? And, you know, I'll ask Miles and just be like, you know, what did you see on my step? You know, how did you know, like, you were going to go inside? And I just try to take those little bits and pieces and just try to replenish my game each day.
How much are you looking forward to joint practice, preseason games to test yourself for that new position?
I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I look the best every day. And so I feel like that's put me in a better standing spot when I want to go to the games and stuff like that.
How much has maybe changed in, not necessarily philosophy, but your focus as the offense kind of shifts now? We've heard so much, and we saw in install yesterday or in some of the things you guys were doing on the field, a little more bootlegs or whatever. So are you starting to notice any kind of a difference thematically with maybe what you guys were doing last year?
Yeah, we had a different scheme last year, and this year is definitely a way different scheme, and I'm really loving it so far, and it's going well. You know, Tom can only tell until we, you know, put the pads on against somebody else, not us. And so that's the only way we really can figure out. But I'm really liking it so far.
How much are you noticing the differences where you've had four different quarterbacks, under center, different guys to protect? Obviously, Dylan Gabriel, that's a whole new thing because of the steps and all of that, left tackle, right tackle type thing. Has it been different depending on who is the signal caller for you?
Nah, as an O-lineman, you don't care who gets behind there, behind the center. And just like last year, we didn't care. Just like my rookie year, I didn't care. So it's just a cycle, you know what I mean? It's just O-line play. You don't matter who steps in the quarterback. You got to do your job at the end of the day.
Hot weather, cold weather, what do you like? Because it's very humid here.
I'm big on the summer. It phases me, but I'd rather play in the summer than the cold, but... Who don't like a cold winter, though?
You're from Indianapolis, aren't you?
I mean, it don't matter. Like I said, I'm from Indianapolis. I played at Ohio State. I didn't play it in, like, below zero games. And so it's nothing to me.
How much do you pay attention to Ohio State now? I mean, you're 3 years on. Some guys, they kind of like, I'll pick it up back when I'm done playing. But are you paying close attention still to the program?
Yeah, I pay pretty solid. I don't try to like track the games, but like if I do got a chance, I'll go watch them. Like who did they play last year? I want to say Toledo. I want to watch them play Toledo. I think obviously the Tua North game, I went there. I was hurt, and I still went in and watched it, and I was so hurt watching it in person. And so, you know, I was just scooting around on my scooter, and it hurt watching them lose, but you know, you felt that, and you know they were going to turn it around.
Now, is Kent State the story, as the story goes, that you kind of took control of a basketball practice that you showed up at over there under Coach Senderoff? Is that true, or is that urban legend? You coming and dunking a basketball and shaking the entire venue?
Yeah, I definitely did that on my visit. I had a basketball offer from Kent State, and you know I went there, and I was pretty close to committing there. You know, Coach Cindy had me, and it was between them and Ball State, and I like Coach Cindy the best, and it was close to Cleveland, and I really had seen Cleveland before. You know, I had to fly in there, I think, and then drive down to Kent, and then also I had an offer from Cleveland State, so you know, I was kind of already had seen Cleveland a little bit, and so yeah, Kent State was definitely like a home for me. And you know, Sully, Jared Sully and his brother, he really almost got me there, and that's what really almost got me to Kent State.
Do you ever think about how your life, how drastically different it would be right now had you have decided to do that instead?
You know, I think about that all the time, you know, where I would have been at. I had a plan, you know. My plan was probably going to go to Kent State for 2 years, you know, hopefully, you know, be a good player, you know, win conference and maybe player of the year. I had big goals for myself, you know, lose weight and go to Power 5 school for D1 basketball. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and, you know, I found my way at Ohio State, and now I'm here.
DeJuan Jones joining us on the show. So, toughest question I like to ask offensive linemen. I'm not going to use this against you, okay? I promise you we're not going to use it on the air, on my kids. What do you look for in a quarterback as an offensive lineman?
As an offensive lineman, that's really tough because – I don't know. I feel like if I do my job, I don't know. I feel like the ball should be out in like 5 seconds, 4 seconds. So, I don't know. I think it's the main thing, just get the ball out. We got the best pass rushers in the game going against us. And if you don't get the ball out, I feel like that's not on you. But you know what I mean? Like, I got to block as long as I can, obviously.
When everything is as live as it can be, how much do you enjoy or not enjoy at all going up against maybe Myles Garrett?
It is what it is, you know. I think I'm starting to embrace it now. You know, at first it was just like, damn, you got to go against Miles. But it's like now it's like, you got Miles. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's going to make you better. It's you're going against the best every day. I people come up to me all the time, and I'll be like, I can't give them an answer who the best rusher I went against. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say Miles first. And then, you know, I give them the second answer. And so.
Did you hear that, T.J. Watt? Did you hear that, T.J.?
Oh,
did you hear that, Pittsburgh?
He hears everything. You know that. They listen to everything over there.
You know.
Roll your eyes. It's true.
I just try to go with my conscience, and you know, I definitely say Miles is probably the best rusher in the league. You know, he's a solidified Hall of Famer.
Dewan, we thank you very much for the time. Best wishes, every blessing this year to you.
Thank you.
Are we throwing that in Filippone's face coming up at 8 o'clock?
Oh, I think you got to. Remember, he was the guy that was not allowing T.J. Watt to get any ground in the backfield.
Well, you know the answer is I absolutely will. That's coming up during Around the AFC North. Somebody, Earl Averill on Twitter. Earl Averill passed, the real one passed away years ago, but there's somebody on Twitter who goes by the moniker of Earl Averill who brought up a very good point about DeJuan Jones and the body transformation, the willingness to switch over to left tackle, which last year he was not confident in making the switch over to left tackle. And it was a very good point about just being willing to go and play that position and giving himself hopefully a really bright future in the NFL. Because as much as I love DeJuan Jones, and you can tell I get bubbly over him because he's such a nice young man, we're at a bit of a crossroads right now. He had to switch over to left tackle. He's definitely dropped some weight. His body looks better. But also, I hate commenting on bodies, but you got to give credit where credit's due. He looks fantastic. The other part of it is that sneakily, he is in year three. And if he goes out and he has a healthy, good season, I think there should be conversations before going into year four about exactly what do you pay DeJuan Jones to keep him around for a long time. And I don't know if that's Andrew Berry or anybody else. I don't know if that matters, whoever the general manager is. I think you look at a guy who's 6'8", and if he can move that quickly and move that well. I'm not trying to put carts before horses. We'll start to learn a lot more next week when they go to Carolina and you're up against other guys. You're not in such a controlled – it's a controlled practice, but you're not in such a controlled environment. We'll start to learn a lot more about that. But for him, it is a pivotal year because you can get paid after this season if you're DeJuan Jones.
I think it's just whether or not he gets injured. Like if he – stays healthy.
Do you think he's good no matter what, if as long as he's healthy?
I think he's good enough.
Okay.
Right? Like I'd like to see more. Unfortunately, you know, he's had the end of the seasons have been marred by these injuries, and I think the weight has obviously been a big part of it too. So the good news is that he's obviously been dedicated over the offseason. He talked to us in that interview. He stayed here the entire time, and he really leaned on the resources and the help that the Browns were offering to get him down. So clearly the organization, you know, regardless of what they might have said in the past about we're not too worried about it, whatever, clearly, you know, they think the weight had something to do with it too. And they know that for him to have, you know, a lengthy career here, for him to even be able to get to the point where we're talking about another contract, he had to get those pounds off. And so he did a great job doing just that. And I can't imagine how hard that must have been given that he had a broken bone. It's really hard for those guys. You know, at that, guys can balloon up after injuries like that.
Well, I'll leave it here. I think that when you say good enough, I think this year, and that might be the case, but good enough to me is swing tackle Chris Hubbard land. So I think that this year, as long as he's healthy and if he can perform to a high level, I don't know if this is the difference between Chris Hubbard and Joran Mailata. But I think that this is the difference between starting quality, really nice salary, generational changing money, or, hey, you're always going to make a fine living in the NFL as long as you're a player on the 53-man roster. You're always making more than the average Joe. But the difference between a swing tackle, a swing guy, or if you're going to be an everyday left tackle, I think this year could be a very tremendous big season for him, but a very big difference between what he could do for his future now. All right, we go around the AFC North at 8 o'clock. Lyman, tell people you want him to admit something. Go ahead.
So,
because I think I disagree.
About three weeks ago when we were talking about what could happen at the trade deadline, we would bring up like one of the better trade chips around Major League Baseball, and I've heard other baseball guys say it was Emmanuel Clase, and everybody everybody was in unison. No, he's team control. You got your team options on him. What, he's making $6 million, but it goes up to $10 million with the team option. That's a bargain for a guy that, even if he's never as dominant as he was last year, where he had his Mariano Rivera year, at least in a regular season.
You said this before the season?
I'm saying this was 3 weeks ago,
Before the All-Star break.
Yeah, this was happening.
When they were in the losing streak.
Yes, people were bandying about. And what did everybody say here in Cleveland? Oh my God, no, you can't trade him. You absolutely can't trade him. No, he's under team.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Control, like, yeah, this is a blip, this is a really rough stretch of games and everything, and now the pile on is happening clearly because of the pitching situation, and we are still waiting to hear a lot more intel on his status and Ortiz's status and what Major League Baseball is going to do, what the feds are going to do, how big of a scandal this truly is.
Johnny Law's coming for you.
Well, we have more words from Jeff Passan on that. We'll get to it, but I have heard a contingent of fans, like, now we can't even trade Class A. It's like, you didn't want to trade him. Nobody wanted to trade him. So you just weren't going to be happy with anything that they did outside of, like, going and getting guys, which, why would a team, at a 10-game losing streak and that had looked this bad all season, why would they be buyers at the trade deadline ever? That would almost be irresponsible.
I think that's revisionist history, and I think you're looking for a point to make about the Guardians that isn't even there. I think I'm on the record many times over.
And it's not revisionist history.
I don't think it's valid.
Because
you said everybody.
Because 3 weeks ago, nobody wanted to trade him.
You said everybody. I've been open to trading Emmanuel Clase all year. I'm not everybody.
I haven't really
I work
heard
with you,
you
every day, I so heard I would
you,
hope.
If we could go back and find the videos of you proclaiming that, I didn't really hear a lot of that.
I'll go back and look. I know I said on air I would trade him for a hitting catcher. That was it.
Okay.
That was my one thing.
I said in the wintertime that he could end up not being on this ball club by the trade deadline, and I got killed for it. So I'm not everybody.
Okay.
I'm the guy sitting with you every day.
We've had open phone lines. We have had opportunities.
Well, that's on them. That ain't me.
We've had opportunities. I read that the hateful tweets every day, anytime that that I said it would be almost irresponsible to be a buyer at the deadline. I saw people say, you absolutely cannot do it. I'm done.
Well,
I'm done. If this cheap team and this cheap owner and the way they do business and the way they don't develop talent, I mean, it's amazing. They all these terrible things about the team, it must be just sheer fortune and luck that they ever won games to begin with over the last however many years.
Not only do I disagree with you about that, I disagree with you even further about the people who just aren't going to be happy no matter what. I think that these are two separate issues. I think that this is something that culminates not about Emmanuel Clase. I think that this is something that happens during the offseason. I think a lot more people feel that way about Emmanuel Clase had they made moves during the offseason. I don't know why I need to say it that slow. But if they had made moves for the better instead of letting guys go, then, I think that there would have been a lot more people 3 weeks. No, you can't get rid of Emmanuel Clase. He's under team control. But since they didn't make moves, I think they want the organization to stand for something. And the organization just doesn't want to move forward or get better or anything this year. It just seemed to be in this blasé of, all right, we open up the gates and we dust off the seats and come on out and watch the fireworks and that's it. Like, that's what it seemed to be. And when you're coming off an ALCS and you don't make the moves that they didn't make, then people are going to be upset about that. I think you're talking about two separate issues when it comes to Emmanuel Clase.
They absolutely have the right to be upset. It's been a horrible lost season.
But I think there's reasoning for it. You're saying there's no reason, logical reasoning for it.
But have you been saying every year for the last 5 years, what do they stand for? Is that a recent thing?
No, that's a recent thing.
But fans are coming out of the woodwork acting like it's every year and they don't try to win ever.
Well, I don't know what Dennis 6969 is going to be able to say about it. I haven't followed him recently.
That
but still
is so completely asinine. And I've been battling. I mean, You're making it sound like it's a fringe element. I mean, we've had these battles. We've had these battles over the last 3 weeks. You know, those videos are out. They've gotten a lot of views.
Yeah, people who have talked out of both sides of their mouths.
I've been called a Dolan apologist. I'm like, no, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. They've been exponentially more successful than another team in town, and yet they're being called a team that doesn't try to win.
But I still,
and I'm like, man, what do you call that other team in town that's been so crappy? Well, they try to win. They just do it poorly. It's like, no, they're the worst in sports. What are you talking about?
Did they try to win, though?
Like, they've been the victims of bad luck, but the Guardians have been the victims of good luck.
No,
or the benefactor of good luck.
I think in a lot of ways you make your own luck. Deshaun Watson wasn't ready to play. It was bad luck.
Do you know how crazy it sounds if somebody were to be driving across the country,
here we
came
go again
into Cleveland?
Well, I talk to Clevelanders. I don't talk to truck drivers from Tennessee.
And hold on. And they heard on this radio station callers calling up saying the Guardians don't try to win and the Browns try to win. Do you know how dumb you would sound if you were crossing through town?
I'm talking to Bob in Maple Heights. I'm not talking to Phantom 309 on his way to New Mexico. I don't care about what guy on a truckload on his way to New Mexico thinks about the Cleveland Guardians, okay? I'm talking to fans. And I think for a certain contingent, fine, because there's people who think everything all over the place when it comes to the Guardians. But you are talking about two separate issues, and you're wrong. They add on to one another. When it comes to Emmanuel Clase, there were definitely people who were saying, well, we can't even trade Emmanuel Clase now because they want them to be able to do something. So now you didn't do anything during the offseason.
It would have been irresponsible to buy,
you didn't
right?
do anything during the offseason. What would have been so irresponsible about it?
They're not a good team this year.
What would have been so irresponsible about trying to bring back Matt Boyd?
That was not going to put
been so
them
irresponsible?
Over the edge.
What would have been so irresponsible to bring back decent pitching? What would have been so irresponsible about maybe holding on to Josh Naylor? What would have been so irresponsible?
Who's already been traded, by the way.
Who's already been traded, but still.
I didn't hear this passion from Ken Kerman in the offseason. I did not hear this, and I do think there's a lot of revisionist history because people, even the Tyler Freeman.
Because
like, they're
I elected
getting raped
to trust
over the coals
them.
For
I've
Tyler
not
Freeman
said a
now.
Damn word about
Where
Tyler
was
Freeman.
That? Where was I, that?
Nope.
People were like, oh, this kind of makes sense. This is a shrewd move.
Not this guy. Not this guy. Owen, have I criticized them at all about Tyler Freeman?
No.
I said nobody saw him batting 300 this year because nobody saw the guy batting 300 this year. Nobody.
Nobody saw Josh Naylor batting 300 either.
Earl Averill in heaven didn't see Tyler Freeman batting 300 this year.
Up there.
I would hope so. But you are talking about two separate things. If they can't do anything during the offseason to improve their positioning to where they might be able to approach a World Series, then damn it, they want them to position themselves for the future there. Because now, after this Emmanuel Clase stuff, it seems that there's more heat than ever about trading away Stephen Kwan by the end of the week.
And when they trade away Stephen Kwan by the end of the week,
good luck, because you're going to have a lot more hell over it than a little bit.
If you're saying you supported trading Clase, why are you not affixing the same logic to Kwan? Don't you think you could get a haul for Kwan?
I don't think that Stephen Kwan, I don't know how much of a haul you were going to get for Emmanuel Clase. Fair. I also think that that Emmanuel Clase is going to fall off a cliff way before I thought so. This is easy to say now after the allegations. But I thought in the wintertime that he was much closer to falling off a cliff than Stephen Kwan would ever be. Stephen Kwan's a good table setter. Plus, I knew you had Andrew Walters in the system, then he got hurt. And then I have Cade Smith in the system where you can't just make anybody a closer. I understand that. But I think that when we look at closers, they immediately fall off cliffs. It goes bad very, very quickly after a couple of years. I don't see Stephen Kwan just being some piece of garbage in the future for whatever lineup that he's hitting in. I look at an anemic lineup that only has two guys that you can really count on, and Steven's one of them. So, yeah, I'm going to be pretty upset. And I don't even know if I see the logic in it. I think you just make a bad situation worse by letting go of Stephen Kwan, unless they get prospects that just seem to be just too outrageously good to pass up
for a guy that everybody says that isn't worth paying $20 million a year?
Oh, it's $30 million what we were talking about, but that's exactly...
Oh, Owen brought it up.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would be doing. If you they would have identified top prospects, and they would be doing a total pivot on this team and recognizing that this team has no chance right now is constituted. And yeah, that's their fault too.
But the people are on your side there. You don't want to pay him any money, but we're going to get great prospects for him. It doesn't add up.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, no number of things occurring yesterday over at Browns camp in Berea, not one including the MJ Emerson unfortunate injury, reported to be an Achilles injury as well. But we also heard from Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam yesterday, talking about a number of topics with the media, including the step back that the team took after the disaster of last year, the 2024 season for the Browns.
You know, we made the decision last year to take a step back after last year's disaster and looking at our roster and knowing that we needed a quarterback to do this over a 2 or 3 year period. You know, it's too early to say, but we like our rookie group. We'll know a lot more, you know, after we play 2 or 3 exhibition games. The young guys get to play a lot, but we like the group, and particularly if Q can come back, we like it a lot.
And we kind of touched on it earlier on in the show, but there was some kind of talk of whether or not Stefanski and Barry may be on the hot seat for this year. Kind of pushed back on that, saying that Stefanski and Barry being like, hey, they got to get better, but we got to get better too, the owners.
You can't start the season on the hot seat. Don't do the Bud Adams. Hey, if you guys can't win it this year, your asses are gone. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, because then you already should have fired.
Because then you already should have let these guys go. Yes,
but so you know, you made
your decision.
It's just funny because we do it. It's content every time we get the.
You don't just live in your home; you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
God's emailed to us basically every day. The hot seats in every profession, in every single one, whether or not sports. I'm talking about sports, not like program right. directors or anything like that. But like every single one, it's here he is. And Stefanski's always going to be on these lists because they were 3-14 last year. But that's not how it is in a building. In a building, they're not operating every day with, oh boy, if today doesn't go well, these guys are gone. That does happen in November and December. A lot of times, there's always one team that fires a coach very early in the year, and that's the first one, or a lot of seasons that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, you'd say, well, what about in that situation? Well, you know what? There are absolutely situations where they're like, I can't work with them anymore. They are openly either refusing what the GM is saying, or the communication, or something is being sabotaged, or they're not dealing well with players. That does happen. I don't think that would happen with Stefanski. I mean, you don't hear a lot of those complaints about the way the organization is or with the coach or the coaching staff.
I've not heard about that getting out of control or anything of that matter. I feel the same way Anthony does about it. You don't start the season with guys on the hot seat. If you have an inkling that they're on the hot seat, then you just let them go in January and you move on about your business and about your life. Now, you could say that you knew that you weren't going to take a quarterback in this draft. And it's almost the same principle as college football, where you look at you could fire a coach, but you look at that schedule and go, Why don't I just let Anthony take the losses and then bring in a new guy after this year and then get it going the right way? You could do that if you wanted to. And that, for all I know, that very well may be their plan. Let's let Kevin and these quarterbacks take these losses and then go on. But you're still not putting anybody on any sort of hot seat, because then you go, he either surprises us and we reevaluate, or we move on as we were planning before.
Going over to the Diamond yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians bouncing back with a 10-4 victory over the Colorado Rockies, including a big game from one Kyle Manzardo, who left the yard twice, had three RBIs and a pair of runs scored. Steven Vogt talking about the confidence Manzardo's been building up this season.
He's been on the fastball. Manzo's starting to get really confident. He's starting to believe he's ready to hit the fastball from pitch number one, and that's what's allowing him to drive off speed as well.
I mean, if you're seeing the growth from this guy so far this season, just imagine what he'd be getting if he played an entire season instead of being platoon for half the year.
Well, you got to put 39-year-old players out there when you can.
You have to. this is
I'm the guy who wants to start Joe Flacco. Damn it. Damn me.
Yeah, touche.
I should get a job in the Guardians front office.
This has been one of the biggest, I don't understand, like, from an organization that I just have continuously praised over the last month for how things have been in the past, certainly not this year. I can't believe they haven't played him. It makes no sense. It literally makes no sense. And I don't think they've given a good answer on it either.
There's been so many things that don't make a lot of sense for a lot of people. You know, going back to, now Chase DeLauder's hurt, so it doesn't help anymore. But, you know, the DeLauder stuff, the Kafis stuff before, Manzardo. Like, hey, man, if you're not going to make a difference, you might as well make the season stand for something. And that's where I don't want to bog this segment down and get in a fight with you again.
No, it's all good.
But I'm talking about Lima. I'm not getting a fight with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to... We're not fighting, are we? We're good?
Not yet.
Okay, good. I don't want to start a fight with you over, but that's what I think fans are really upset about it. If you're going to do what you think is better for the organization than I think is better for the organization, then why aren't you making these moves? Why didn't you do this? And then when you lose Emmanuel Clase, well, now you can't even trade him. Like, I think fans do, in their own way, want to give their favorite teams the benefit of the doubt. And now you're really not in a position to give me the benefit of the doubt.
By the way, Manzardo, you're absolutely right. I do not begrudge anybody for being livid with how this season's going.
You just begrudged him.
My begrudging is that people are acting like this has been the same thing for a decade. And I'm like, what? What? You've just been losing arguments for a decade, and now you finally get to win one. That's where I get upset. Manzardo, fifth best batting average on the team right now. 235. But fifth best batting average on the team.
What's the OPS, though? Because that's more important at the stadium right now.
That is important. When I track that down.
I hear there's other scoreboards that have that now. That's not just a us thing. Because now everybody... you talk to Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas is mad that people don't care about batting average anymore. And so now they're putting OPS up more than they ever have. Which I'm imagining that Frank Thomas is...
Can I give you slugging?
Sure. What?
Second best on the team.
All right.
473.
Hey, man. You know... Again, who's got the better shot at a future with this club? Is it Carlos Santana at 39 or Kyle Manzardo? It's Kyle Manzardo. He should be playing more. Go ahead.
Speaking of veterans and their future with the Guardians, Shane Bieber, we're keeping track of his rehab yesterday in Double-A Akron. Went 4 innings pitch, struck out 7, walked none, gave up a home run, but pitched well for the Rubber Ducks. This is Bieber after the game.
I feel like my stuff's in a really good spot. It's been in a great spot since I started throwing. Very confident with the action of my pitches. For me, it's really about building arm strength. It's hard to simulate a game atmosphere unless you do it.
If you go to ESPN.com right now, they have like a list of like potential trades that a lot of their writers have been putting out there. Jeff Passan saying that the Cubs may want to take a stab at the Cy Young winner.
I'm glad you brought that up, because now, Tone, I'm in a sad, cynical place with the Guardians. I saw the highlights of him yesterday, and I went, oh, hopefully it'll be good for somebody else, because we're going to let him go. Cynical. And then Passan puts it out that the Cubs might be interested in Shane Bieber.
He also put out the example of the Black Sox scandal that you brought up the other day, too. But we can get to that later on in the show. Finally, I want to get some WNBA action here. This is from the Valkyries game last night. This is a wild situation.
Hayes gets blocked by Maya Caldwell. Something flies on the court, actually, from the crowd. The officials will say they will continue play as that goes off the fingertips of the Valkyries.
And you can see the object, the block right there. The object comes, that green thing bounces, and it goes to the sideline. We're not sure where it came from. No room for any of that type of activity.
Yeah,
and no one's picked the object up yet. You guys, oh my gosh, okay.
Now the camera's showing.
Okay. Inappropriate. Get him out of here, whoever it is.
What's the audio courtesy?
First of all, green.
The humor.
Green.
Okay.
I mean, and you know, the Lima household, it's always been purple. What? This is a green one.
This happened in a Patriots Bills game.
Yes.
What possesses you guys to bring these things to sporting events?
Because of what we just did.
What possesses you to? So you buy a ticket. You buy one of those. You have to go to a lion's den along the highway. You buy one of these things. Don't tell me you get this thing Amazon to you.
That audio is courtesy of KPIX, which is Valkyrie's TV.
So you go to the lion's den along the highway.
How are those girls not, those women doing it, how are they not rolling?
Well, there is a point where it happens during gameplay, right? Whoever's at the top of the key turns around and notices it and just puts her head in her hands and goes, oh my God.
The players aren't laughing?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good.
There's a few of them laughing.
Again, what goes through your head to go through the rigmarole of buying a ticket to the game, stopping in an adult bookstore.
Oh yeah.
Well, usually they have them. It goes one with the other, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's buy one, get one. Sometimes it's a nice add-on.
So
complimentary gift.
You buy it, and then you go. I know we were going to get to the guy who got traded in the middle of the doubleheader and ended up pitching for against his old team with his new team.
I'd like these are doubleheaders.
Anybody see Requiem for a Dream?
I'd like to focus on this one, this story, a little bit longer.
That's it for about last night.
I think we focused on this story quite enough.
Now, was this the same game?
That's all that I know.
Is this the same game that the lady's wig fell off?
It was.
Wow, this was the game to be at. You kidding me?
Inappropriate.
Why are you buying these things to take them to a sporting event? Why do you do this?
Listen, it happens in the NFL. You want to be respected. You want to be seen in the same light as the professional sports that most guys watch. You do more of this, you'll get that attention.
My God.
Inappropriate.
They did it in an NFL game.
That's what I'm saying.
Stop doing it. Stop it. Don't throw anything onto the court or onto the floor.
An awesome minor league promotion.
What is the... Yeah, never mind.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.